Blog Talk Radio.
It's natural that as Louis Armstrong is there to welcome us every episode, playing in the background, that we move on with a bit of something that heightens the Christmas spirit. For those of you around the world, I'm revealing my culture, not as competition for your own, simply that I know that yours exists, but this is mine in a way. And it is nothing spectacular. These are things that are already known about me. But like you, there are times when I like to share. I have a need to share what I feel is warmth inside. And these are things from my background and my life that are worth sharing. This, of course, is... This is North America at its charming best. You'll recognize this if you have been around a radio show.
Yes, love's roasting on an open fire. Jack Frost nipping at your nose. Yuletide carols being sung by choir. and folks dressed up like Eskimos. Everybody knows a turkey and some mistletoe help to make the season bright. Tiny tots with their eyes all aglow will find it hard to sleep tonight. They know that Santa's on his way. He's loaded lots of toys and goodies on his sleigh. And every mother's child is gonna spy to see if reindeer really know how to fly. And so I'm offering the simple phrase to kids from one to many two. Although it's been said many times, many ways, Merry Christmas to you. Many times, many ways, Merry Christmas to you.
Wow. Wow. Imagine Freemasonry stepping into the darkness together, trusting each other. I feel compelled to talk frankly about the it, what it is. We know the difference. We know what effort feels like. We know dominating conversation or tossing around ideas as if directing the thoughts of brethren is not mentoring. It is not even instruction or training. Why then do we struggle to listen carefully enough to understand the apprentice in each one of us? Aude vide tace. The diabolical lessons on which all other adventures depend. Freemasonry has always been distinct from any other experience. The club atmosphere is such a departure. Since no one is singularly responsible for this hollowing out of character-changing Masonic experiences, then all of us are to blame. Afraid are we to trust that the geometry of the cathedrals is still a lot reliable? This offends acceptability. Prove your work. Prove your work. So we can know one another in that manner, distinguishing journeyman from apprentice, thoughtful from ennui. If you have heard someone suggest we would be better men if it weren't for the fact we are Masons voluntarily, that lovable brother is grasping at straws. Insight has never been ordered up. Never. Though weak command will criticize a man confused by orders, neither authority nor force of numbers nor ego, at best uncomfortable, has ever or can ever make speculation true. If we were confident in our abilities, supported by facts, science, and imagination, the arts, we would be bold and be employing the 5 points of fellowship as more than flattering words. Ignorance seems more the threat than trying and failing. Stay dark, stay in the darkness. Because if you try, you might fail. Acting rashly and being tastelessly is not appropriate as we know it. Right and wrong, black and white are ideas that divide us. Being right based on limited reasoning at the expense of others is what it is, embarrassing. The lessons and experience of Freemasonry teaches us what to do, and where consistent with our ethics creates an environment that encourages effort he needs to achieve beyond his grasp. Nothing like a Russian composer just to elevate the mood. Nothing like it. Poet, how do you select the poetry of the world, from the poetry of the world on the such an occasion. It's beautiful. There's no extension to it. There's no limits. There's no edge to it. I hope listeners have been not necessarily dismissive of the work that we're doing on poetry and the context of it, not just putting it out there. In limiting poetry to the delineation of states of feeling and denying the name where nothing is delineated but outward objects, we may be thought to have done what we promised to avoid. We have not found but made a definition in opposition to the usage of language, since it established by common consent that there is a poetry called descriptive. It's an idea about poetry that you and I can apply to Freemasonry. Have we done what we promised to avoid? Have we made our own definition rather than discovering the definitions of Masonry, the experience of Freemasonry? Ah-ha-ha. The drives, the psychologist's mindscape, understanding the drives of the man, of humans. I think there's credible evidence to suggest, yes, we have done that. We deny the charge. Description is not poetry because there is descriptive poetry, no more than science is poetry because there is such a thing as didactic. That's the great architect punishing me for blasphemy. All right, I'll tone it down. Let me finish the thought, for goodness sake. Yes, there's such a thing as a didactic poem. Well, what's your point? But an object which admits to being described, or a truth, which may fill a place in a scientific treatise, may also furnish on a... You can see where I'm going, can't you? The great geometrician knows all. Worse than the Wizard of Oz. He just knows. She knows. All right. Poetry is not the object in itself. Neither is Masonry. Nor in the scientific truth itself. But in the state of mind in which the one and the other may be contemplated. The mere delineation of the dimensions and colors of external objects is not poetry, no more than a geometrical ground plan of St. Peter's or Westminster's painting. Descriptive poetry consists, no doubt, in description, but in description of things as they appear, not as they are, and it paints them not in their bare and natural lineaments, not as they are, and he paints them, but seen through the medium and arrayed in the colors of the imagination, set in action by the feelings. Here, I'm going to reveal another truth, and if I go on to a sneezing jag again, and if I upset the grand geometrician, please. Please forgive me. You've heard, brethren, about this notion of happiness, that our purpose is to find happiness and share it with others. And I think this is where we've made the Freemasonry not into something that we've discovered, but something that we've created. The happiness of Freemasonry is an outcome. And you might want to have thought that. It's not the giggling or laughter that we share with our mates when we're having a good time together over a game of bridge or a chessboard or yelling at our football teams, extolling them to go on and on. No. This happiness, because Freemasonry, that would make Freemasonry common, wouldn't it? It would make it similar. Well, I get that feeling from other things. And Freemasonry is distinct, remember. It's distinct as you are. So if you're on the edge of your seat taking umbrage with what I'm saying, yes, of course. We are all the same. Every single man, and if you say so, then we are all the same. However, we are as unique as the sands on the shore of the sea. The way we creep up on the happiness is the process of discovery. Silly. When you come upon something and discover it for what it is, and the reaction of that discovery, if it has taken you moments because you're impatient and intemperate and you can't focus, well, it's not to say you won't discover, it's just that you may be needing repeated adventures in order to have the revelations presented to you in a way that you can grasp. They come over and over, or they're lost. Depends on whether the pilgrim is adhering to his obligations. Are you watching? Vide, are you watching? If you're not watching, fine. Head in the clouds. It's not something that we would want a Mason to pursue. It's a process of discovery. It's the artist inside of you. It's the scientist inside of you. The discovery in your personal life where you're describing something not as you need it to be to manipulate the observation into an ideology, but to describe it for what it is, unvarnished truths. And that feeling when we get it, describe the feeling for me, brethren. That's happiness. Oh, wait. I'll do the collective slap on the forehead for all of us. Oh, that's the uniqueness of Freemasonry. Oh, why didn't you say so? Because you have to discover it for yourself, not these. My words are hollow. My words are exchanging an idea with you, an observation that I've made. You put these ideas together, and that's happiness. And then, not to keep that to ourselves, but share. Now, what do you share? The giggles? That mindless laughter? No, the process of getting there. How do you get there? Do you break into giggles every time the room erupts or a worshipful master doesn't know what to say and is self-consciously caught up? No. Let him experience the fullness of it. My goodness, is that an opportunity to lie to the man and tell him how wonderful he is? Oh, you mean you've experienced that too? I'm sure you have. Why lie to a brother? Is he not worthy of the truth? Or do you not know how to talk with the man without talking at the man? It's best that you sit quietly. Learn to get control over your ego and then present yourself as a true mentor. placing the worth of the conversation in the lap of the apprentice before you. Not dominance. It's jokeable. I'll tell you, when you reach a certain age, it becomes laughable. Somebody attempting, I always find them flattered when somebody attempts to do that. And it's going on around me even now. Boss. Telling me ideas. I find it laughable that somebody would think I'm that naive. They don't know me. It's like you are an anomaly to yourself and the world until you, if you say, I don't know, tell us about you. Well, who really knows himself? You know, versions, reflections, but your essence, that takes some effort and time to reflect. The discovery is a different matter. Is it worth waiting for? Is the discovery worth waiting for? You explain that. Well, if you've never had it, how could you know? Fair enough. Reason it through. It's worth it for a lot of people, a lot of men over the centuries, a lot of great thinkers. Oh, let's deal with inadequacy. So we don't want to put ourselves in the same atmosphere as that level of greatness. Again, manipulating the situation to suit your ego. Hold that in abeyance. Just hold it off instead of working with an ideology. Describe what you see before you. Apply yourself. What have you got to lose? And what have you to gain? What if you just make that discovery, that an experience, that that distinguished joy? Have a work well done. As modest, as stoic as perhaps you were an Epicurean. I don't know. I would hope. No. Maybe you're the skeptic. I'm perfectly reasonable. The joy. It's not said that a stoic doesn't have that joy and can't share it. Poetry, huh? Yeah. Describing the soul of the universe. Attention to detail. Where else do you find that? My brethren, where else? It's one of those interesting aspects. There are many facets of Freemasonry like this. Freemasonry is incomparable. You are incomparable. You're similar, sure. We go to buildings, but ours are temples full of enrichment. And do you give yourself, this is what you bring into the room, do you give yourself the opportunity to discover? Too often, not. I'm not convinced that we can reclaim or rehabilitate the lodges. I think that is something that comes from inside. But when we connect, as the commentary pointed out, when we connect, it's a step into, is it so much into darkness? Ignorance is, and we don't know the answer. But if you've done your work, you've done your formula, you're doing, understanding the mathematics of the situation, who better to take that next step? Except a man who is properly able to try and learn from the failing that it is taking, that failure is taking him one step closer to a truth, a beauty. And who's going to tell you that? Only a fool would expect to be told answers without first presenting the question. Questions, focus for the mind. And the litmus test, the canary in the coal mine, poetry. and last program read a piece from Albert Einstein. Charming. This is a sample of Celtic poetry. Yeah. And we should have a conversation about the dynamics, the chemistry of the English Premier League and the English Premier Lodge and the Irish, and how that came to Canada in an ignominious way. The darkness of racism, class stratification. Nobody in London wanted those Irishmen as part of their Grand Lodge concept. Who knew the Irish and the Scots would congregate under the ancients and press forward? Again, if your science is based on fairy tales, well, you will have as little satisfaction with this kind of thinking. I said a Christmas prayer for you because the season's near. I didn't ask for riches, but for gifts so much more dear. I ask for joyful gatherings for your family all around, and for carols to inspire you with their old familiar sound. I ask for quiet moments in your heart on Christmas morn, for a special time to celebrate the Savior who was born.
Have yourself a merry little Christmas. Let your heart be light. Next year all our troubles will be out of sight. Have yourself a merry little Christmas. Make the Yuletide gay. Next year all our troubles will be miles away. Once again, as in olden days, happy golden days anew. Faithful friends who were dear to us will be near to us once more. Someday soon we all will be together. If the fates allow, until then we'll have to muddle through somehow. So have yourself a merry little Christmas now.
Thank you.
Fitzgerald. Why not? Why not? Discovery? Oh, I wish I was that. I was that clever that these opinions, everything that came out of me was a truth. I have an overwhelming amount of evidence and information around that I just couldn't ignore anymore. Discovery, the essence of Freemasonry. And is it evident even in describing it? It's a shift, isn't it? A nice way of thinking about it is simply to ask yourself, is my approach common or is it Masonic? But knowing that nothing about Freemasonry is common, it's unique. And it's designed because the common wasn't to improving our character. Wasn't improving character, wasn't challenging. It was the task of getting through life. But let your intellect rise above the chores of day-to-day, the housekeeping, the domestique. It wasn't changing character. Until we framed mankind as capable of study, capable of insight, capable of reasoning. What in the world? We discovered reasoning. What in the period of the Enlightenment, we were rediscovering. It's like the Greeks discovered what lost mathematics. Well, there's a strong suggestion the mathematics was passed on from a more ancient culture, China, and brought to the West through India and to Egypt. And the geometry, when we step back, we know that the geometry of Euclid had been already implemented in, when it was discovered in Greece. It had already been yesterday's discovery in China. Just credit where credit's due. Not competition, observation. And observation doesn't come because you have a coin in your pocket. Some of the wealthiest people I've ever met have no clue. Here I'm going to speak with you as the symbol you are. Oh, yes, we made you a symbol. That whole process of the initiatory order. How do you handle? Do you handle yourself with, do you respect that symbolic aspect of yourself? It's different. It's different than what you are every day. But it's the way in that what we call now the virtual reality. People think of you. More ideal until you break it down and show awkwardness or that you haven't been a good student or you've set down the instrument and haven't practiced. You might once have been brilliant at it, but you know it takes repeated effort just to keep the skills, the flexibility, the dexterity. And you know that there was a time when you craved that feeling, when you respected it. Well, that doesn't continue on and on and on. We're not all 35 years old forever. We discover changes within ourselves. We respect the fact that we aren't the same. Oh, my goodness. We know so much more if we've paid attention. Or we can put our imagination in a box and keep it locked up. But there is that day, and you know, Freemasonry illustrates this, that day of, I don't know if I think of it as reckoning, it's a, more the gentle time of coming to terms with ourselves, a truth, an understanding. And if you've been brought up being afraid of the Creator and being the penitent, well, I feel a great deal of compassion for your situation. I haven't heard. My Creator, like the great architect, is the guide, is the reconciliation, is the ideal, is the challenge. Always ever ready to extol me, to do better, to recognize that there is a capability that I haven't formed yet. And when I ask for reminders, like I bring myself to reading poetry and sharing it with this audience around the world and across Canada especially, and talking about the why poetry and what it does and why the arts, and feeling more and more comfortable with that sense of imagination and realizing the brilliance when the imagination of the artist overlaps and mixes with the sciences and produces what? Produces the Einsteins, the Copernicus, the Michelangelo, the Mozart. The Kant, Schopenhauer, Hiram Abiff, you as a symbol. We couldn't begin to describe what's written on your heart, so we use metaphor. It's not about me, it's not about Graham, it's not about you. It's about a metaphor that allows us to apply it to one and all. We were talking about the level here. What's the problem with this? Well, so much of Freemasonry was made on fanciful ideas, and it was written about. And there's a lot written about that material, taking it as fact, taking it literally. And so we have some thinkers, thank goodness. The work of the Research Lodge of the Four Martyrs allows us to identify the fanciful, the fiction with some really quite interesting and challenging fact, the facts of Freemasonry, the geometry, the chemistry of Freemasonry, the imagination based on fact, being able to replicate, huh? The bubble, huh? We talk about levels, and I've not seen a lot of people have respect for this kind of a breakdown. We just take for granted so much. We make so many assumptions and speculations. And at some point, we need to be able to call ourselves on it. Even something as simple as the level. The bubble level was invented and developed in the 17th century. And it was hardly before 1700 that it started to come into general use. This is the idea that the only level is on that surface that can be found is on the surface of a bubble. Even when it is doubtful whether it would replace very quickly the form of implement which had previously been in use for this purpose. That's what I wear as a past grand senior warden. So that at the time of the development of Masonic symbolism, the level which would be in the minds of most concerned would be that which had literally been in use for thousands of years. In ancient Egyptian times, the level consisted of an isosceles A-shaped piece with a plumb bob hung from its apex. In land surveying, this A level was used to get a horizontal sight line by placing the level on a board and raising or lowering the end of the board by means of wedges until the plumb line coincided with a mark on the cross piece. This principle continued in use until the bubble finally superseded it. But the device we call a level in masonry is based on this design and perpetuates the old idea. That which we call a plumb rule is similarly dependent on the use of a plumb bob. William Meeson, in his publication in 1775, considered these implements. Check this out. By leaving this sort of men to the quiet adoration of their own invented idol, let us who have assumed the name of Masons press forwards towards the mark for the prize of the high calling. Let us also be as examples of the believers in speech, in conversation, in love, in spirit, in fidelity, in purity. Yet with such an humble deportment as will always keep us from that assuming arrogance, that would be in conceit only, places above our own level. And as we are to set others a good example, so let us emulate and endeavor after the greater attainments of others, striving with all our might to overcome the corruptions of our nature and to come up to the true level of prudence, virtue, and piety, along with the most exalted patterns of purity and perfection. These will cause us to be esteemed by the very truly generous and impartial who love that which is good, whether it be in a Mason or in any other name. It is possible that some such as these may value themselves on the square. But let me ask, how do they look unless they stand upright in the building? Thus you plainly see the unfitness and absurdity of placing any trust or confidence in the weak supports of assimilation and imposture. On the contrary, he that would be counted a man and worthy of trust, let him pursue the great qualifying virtue, sincerity. Or let him not hypocritically assume that sacred title. Neither let him think himself upright because he is sincere in a few particulars, for this would be a vain perception. Sincerity is a universal duty. Neither can that man be said to be so who cannot stand the test of the true plumb line of gospel sincerity. And he that is truly square, well polished, and thusly uprightly fixed is well qualified and fit to be a member of the most honorable society that has ever existed. More than idle words. More than idle words. Words that resonate. And so we can jump in and assume that it's make all kinds of assumptions and assume a great deal and be completely wrong and pass that on because it's simplistic, because we don't have this ability to, or we haven't had the facility to reason through it. Well, the kindness, the generosity of Freemasonry does that for us. It gives us all kinds of hints and clues. It creates that atmosphere for discovery. But it requires, but, there's always a but, isn't there? It requires focus of the mind. do you have the courage to ask the question? Here's a little bit of something wonderful from here in Canada to the entire world at Christmas.
Spend all your time waiting for a second chance, or a break that would make it okay. All it's from reason to feel not good enough, and it's hard at the end of the day. I need some distraction. Oh, memories deep from my veins, and maybe I'll wait it, and maybe find some peace in the arms of the
draw to the end of the show here on Christmas Day 2019. Let me share with you a poem that I find in this tattered old leather volume that my grandfather would carry out to the field in Prince Edward Island. Cyril, always in my thoughts. Make it snow. Should old acquaintance be forgot and never brought to mind? Should old acquaintance be forgot and old lang syne? For old lang syne, my dear, for old lang syne, we'll take a cup of kindness yet for old lang syne. And surely you'll be your pinstep, and surely I'll be mine, and we'll take a cup of kindness yet for auld lang syne. For auld lang syne, my dear. Our auld lang syne. We'll take a cup of kindness yet for auld lang syne. Which we have run along the braes and heard their gowns fine, and we'll wander money a weary fit and sin. Old Lang Syne, for old Lang Syne, my dear, for old Lang Syne, we'll take a cup of kindness yet. We do have had the burn from morning sun till dawn, but seas between us bravely roared, sin old Lang Syne. And there's a hand, my trusty frere, and here's a hand of mine. And we'll take all right, good Willie Watts for old lang syne. For old lang syne, my dear. We'll take a cup of kindness yet. For old lang syne. For old time's sake. Discover that beautiful notion. Yeah. This is one of the early carols from was it Salzburg this happened, wasn't it? Someone was discovering from a butcher that the melodies and lyrics. I went to a little priest, Franz Gruber, in 1818. And they used the instrument that was most commonly used to construct this carol in an afternoon so that it could be performed that evening at a concert in the church. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Remarkable. Out there, we stumble across this broadcast. If you're living in fear, or you're being bullied or harmed, whether you're a child or a woman or a man, I can promise you this: your day will come. And if not your day, somebody like us, somebody like good Masons, will track down the people that are harming you. And justice will be rendered. That I can promise you. Nobody escapes. Nobody. We can do better next year. We can be concerned about the existential crisis that we're facing. We don't have to bury our heads in the sand. What to do? The value of the earth, the universe around us, is being recognized. Notions that we dominate everything has been challenged so long ago. We are part of it, not above it. To move forward, always and ever moving forward, with questions that we don't yet have answers. We know what to do. There's scant few people that will tell you and me how to get there, how to do it for ourselves. A lot of people are ready to tell us to use their methodology. never quite works. Never quite works. But to keep doing it. Because it's easier to say, what's wrong with that stupid fellow? He doesn't listen to me. Why isn't he a good little subordinate? If he only listened and if only he was in uniform, then he would be wiser and more obedient. And that would not be Freemasonry. You are the Mason. You feel it in your heart. To all the listeners from around the world, thank you for being part of this wonderful experiment. I think we're heading into our 10th year of Sonic Effects. I'd like to have you continue to be with us around the world and especially across this huge, beautiful country that I get to live in. Merry Christmas, everyone. Merry Christmas. See you next year. Ho-ho. Thank you.